And today I'm filling in for my colleague, Hong Mei Wang, and I also want to acknowledge the other co-authors on this presentation. Today I'm going to talk about a corner store project that focused on basically increasing healthy food access and purchases among corner stores. And we hear it all the time in the media, and probably all know that obesity has been increasing over the years. And currently about 32% of children and 64% of adults are overweight or obese, so it's very significant. And there definitely are disparities in overweight and obesity. For example, non-Hispanic blacks have the highest rates of obesity, followed by Hispanics and then non-Hispanic whites. And further, while there have initially been a lot of studies on individual focus strategies to prevent obesity, more and more the focus is turning toward environmental strategies because it's been hard to find individual strategies that have been effective in the long term. And with that in mind, in terms of funding for activities focused on obesity prevention, a lot of the funding has really shifted toward environmental change or policy change strategies. And two of the major funding sources for this type of work have been the CDC's Communities Putting Prevention to Work grants and the CDC's Community Transformation grants. So today I'm reporting on a project from the Douglas County Health Department, which is located in Nebraska, and the Douglas County Health Department received both of those grants. So first the CPPW grant and then the CTG grant, and that's how this Corner Store initiative was funded. In addition to the Corner Store initiative, which is Healthy Neighborhood Stores, there were a lot of different other activities as well, like working with workplaces to help workplaces adopt policies that would promote healthy nutrition and physical activity, connecting schools with bike paths and other safe means to get to school, other initiatives within schools, just kind of a wide range of things have been funded through these two grants. But today I'll talk about Healthy Neighborhood Stores. So specifically during the CPPW funding, there were 8 healthy neighborhood stores that were developed in Douglas County, and 2 CTG stores were developed during that funding period. And the stores were really focused on areas with a higher proportion of minority residents and areas that traditionally have served low-income individuals. And in order to pick the healthy stores, or really the neighborhood where the stores would be located, there was a process of mapping out chronic diseases across the city, looking at rates of poverty, because we know that can be associated with obesity, and also mapping out the full-service grocery stores in the community. So there were certain areas of town that were the targets. And then within that, the staff from the health department went and talked to different store owners and conducted the Nutrition Environment Measures Survey, the NEMS, to figure out where they were starting, what types of healthy foods they did or didn't have at that point in time. And based on their NEMS scores, from the way that we scored the NEMS, they could range from 0, meaning having 0 of the healthy foods we were interested in, to 5, having all 5 of the healthy foods we were interested in. And most of the stores, when they started, had a score of about 2. And the stores also had an interest in obviously participating and increasing the number of healthy foods. So the Healthy Neighborhood Store initiative really focused on price, promotion, and placement. So for 5 particular types of healthy foods: fresh fruits and vegetables, 100% whole grains, low-fat or fat-free milk, and lean proteins. So price is really pricing those foods competitively with other unhealthy foods. Promotion is basically promoting them in the stores, making people notice them. And placement is kind of the same strategy. Promotion also has to do with signage around the healthy foods. Placement means putting them in the front of the store rather than back, hidden in the back of the store. So that was kind of the general focus of the project. And specific intervention activities included things like providing supplies and incentives to the store owners, things like coolers for meat or vegetables, signage. There was a lot of healthy neighborhood store signage, so customers would know that this was a healthy neighborhood store, and reusable grocery bags for the customers, again, to kind of promote this idea of healthy neighborhood stores. The health department also provided technical assistance. through store owner trainings on things like food safety and storage information, because as I mentioned, a lot of the stores were introducing new foods that they hadn't really dealt with previously, and also conducting nutrition education for the customers. And that was primarily in the form of food demonstrations. So demonstrating how you could prepare the foods that were now in the stores. And in terms of our evaluation, we wanted to look at healthy food availability and purchases as a result of the intervention. So we did intercept surveys with customers, and these were conducted in August and September of 2013 and 2014. Unfortunately, this was not at the beginning of the intervention. So, and that really had to do with funding. We initially didn't have the funding to do these intercept surveys, but later on, we had extra funding left over. So if any of you have gotten the CDC funding, you know sometimes you have carryover funds that you have to spend. And so we used the carryover funds to fund these intercept surveys. So they were not initially a part of the evaluation. So we don't really have baseline findings is what I'm trying to say. But we can look at some changes over time. And with our intercept survey, most of the intercept surveys that currently are out there target children more so than adults. And we really wanted to focus on adults for this particular project. So we developed our own intercept survey, which focused on the perception of healthy food availability. So did customers think it was easy to find these healthy foods within the corner stores? Healthy food purchases, did they actually buy them? And other shopping behaviors, like how often they came to the corner stores and how familiar they were with healthy neighborhood stores generally. And so in our 2013 sample, we had about 550 participants and about the same number in 2014. And we really just looked at changes over time using chi-square and t-tests. So in terms of the participants, if you first go here to age, you'll see that for the most part, the age of the participants across the years was pretty similar. They were slightly older in the 2014 cohort. In terms of race, about 31, and actually most of the participants were between about 25 and 44, so an older, slightly older age group. For race, about 30-ish percent of the, depending on the year, percent of participants were Hispanic, about 40% were African American, 20% white, and 5% or less identified as another race or ethnicity. So predominantly Hispanic and African American sample. About half were female. And we also asked if they received WIC or SNAP benefits. And this actually changed from 2013 to 2014. In 2013, about 40% of the customers who agreed to participate in the intercept surveys received WIC or SNAP, whereas in 2014, only 20% did. In terms of shopping behaviors, at both time points, customers visited the stores about a little less than four times a week and spent approximately 14 or more like 12 in 2004 dollars at the last visit, at the visit where we were asking them about their purchases. And not surprisingly, the number that used WIC or SNAP benefits decreased a little bit over time between 2013 and 2014. And I'm sure that corresponds to the fact that customers who had WIC or SNAP benefits also decreased, as I mentioned earlier. So, but as you'll also notice, in general, most people weren't using WIC or SNAP at these stores. And interestingly, in terms of those who had heard of the healthy neighborhood stores, like I mentioned, there's signs, there's food demonstrations, there's bags, there's all kinds of things that go on. Only still 28% of the customers had heard of healthy neighborhood stores, even though they were shopping at one in 2013. And that increased slightly in 2014 to about 33%. So most customers, it wasn't resonating with them, this idea of healthy neighborhood stores. In terms of healthy food availability and purchases, if you look at easy to find first, going down these columns, really most people at both time points felt that it was easy to find these foods, about 90% for fresh fruits, 90% for fresh vegetables, about 90% for whole grains, again, 90% for low-fat, fat-free milk and lean proteins, although the ease of finding low-fat milk and lean proteins decreased slightly between 2013 and 2014. But the bottom line is customers felt like those items were in the store. They felt like they could find them there. Purchases, however, were a totally different story. And as you can see, if you look down these columns, in 2013, well, from 2013 to 2014, basically, purchases of these healthy foods decreased for all of the categories. So again, this 2013 isn't a baseline. It's not like they became healthy neighborhood stores and then they bought less healthy foods than previously. But still, it's concerning because we obviously want people to purchase the foods that are there. And even without the declines, as you can see in 2013, the percentages that were purchasing these foods were relatively low overall. So in conclusion, overall the awareness of this project was low for whatever reason, although the availability of healthy foods were relatively high and stable, and customers noticed that and appreciated that. But still, as I mentioned, also the healthy food purchases were low. So that's something to consider. And slightly more customers were aware of healthy neighborhood stores from 2013 to 2014, but their shopping habits didn't really change as a result of that awareness. And like I mentioned, there was some indication that there may have been lower availability of low-fat and fat-free milk and lean proteins in 2014. And for all of the five types of healthy foods, purchases seemed to decrease over time. So what I will say about some of these findings is it was certainly true that we had fewer funds to basically support the store owners and implement the healthy neighborhood stores in CTG. So our first grant was CPPW, then CTG. There was a lot more money for this project in CPPW and a lot less during CTG. So that maybe played a role in some of these findings as the project kind of winding down or not in the new phase, sustaining it over time can be an issue for a variety of projects, really. So I think that could have played a role in some of these findings. The limitations, as I already mentioned, are that the intercept surveys were conducted after this intervention had been going on for a while, a couple of years in some cases, so we didn't have baseline data. I did want to point out, though, that there was another somewhat similar study of corner stores that found that at baseline, only 5% of customers were purchasing healthy items, and at their follow-up, 16% were. So it's possible that in the beginning of this project, hardly anybody was purchasing healthy foods, and then it increased over time, and then it's kind of declined as the project has gone on. We don't know, though, at this point. We also had a small number of visits at each store. So we went out several times to each store, but it's possible that maybe people are buying these healthy foods on certain days and not other days. That's certainly something that could be true. And we didn't examine unhealthy purchases in this project. So that's also important because if you're buying one apple but five bags of chips, clearly that's not going to lead to a balanced diet, probably. And in terms of policy implications, I think the fact that basically, since healthy food purchases dropped over time, there's definitely a need for ongoing evaluation to determine if it's possible to really sustain the impact of these programs over time. And I think that we also need more information about if the foods that were offered were appropriate. I think these findings really highlight that just because you put healthy foods in a store, there may not be the demand for healthy foods in general or for those specific healthy foods. Maybe we need different types of healthy foods that meet different food preferences. And also, I think that any kind of promotional materials that can cater to the cultural or racial background of the community residents really should be stressed and understood to change shopping habits and ultimately improve dietary behaviors. So the bottom line is, I think, for these healthy corner store interventions, there really isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. Although these have been successful in some areas and not successful in others, I think some of that may have to do with how they're tailored to the individual needs of the community. And while we certainly tried to tailor in our own community, there probably is more work that can be done to to really meet that need. And we just wanted to acknowledge the CDC who funded this project and note that these the results and opinions do not reflect the CDC. They are our own opinions and results. And if you have any questions, you can contact my colleague, Hongmei Wong.